In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our text for this evening is the Gospel from St. Matthew, which I've already read. There are two aspects to Ash Wednesday and Lent that we must keep in our minds in order to rightly understand what it is we're actually doing here until we come to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. First, Lent is a time that the church sets aside to consider what our sins are and how they have brought us such ruin and destruction in our world, and especially in our own lives. So it is a time to consider our sins. Second, by reflecting on our sins, we can clearly see what it is that God has done for us in Christ, in sending his Son into the world to take away our sins and to be our Savior from sin and death. When we look then at the crucified Jesus, we see the love of our God on full display. In his suffering, Jesus shows us what he was willing to suffer in order to bring us back to himself. Now, the other part of Ash Wednesday and Lent that we ought to keep in mind is that Lent is, historically speaking, a time to discipline our flesh. Sometimes we shorten this concept just to the word fasting, but I think that word, as good as it is, sometimes misses the mark as to what Jesus is actually getting at in the gospel reading. Instead, we ought to think of Lent as a fast or a time to discipline the body. Take, for instance, Jesus fasting in the wilderness that we're going to hear about this coming Sunday. There in the wilderness, Jesus isn't simply refraining from food, but he is putting his body under discipline in order that he might hear the word of God and confess it clearly. When the devil comes to tempt Jesus, the first thing Satan does is tell our Lord to turn some stones into bread. Jesus responds, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." When Jesus fasted, it was to remind his body that God was his ultimate good, and that even the necessities of biological life, the things that we have to sustain this body from day to day, are subjected to God. Our reading today comes to us from Matthew 6, which is in the middle of Christ's famous Sermon on the Mount. In this chapter, Jesus addresses the three disciplines that are beneficial to the Christian: giving to the poor, praying, and fasting. These three disciplines are generally considered to be the Lenten disciplines, owing to the fact that the church has used Matthew 6 for this evening's readings as a gospel reading for more than 1,000 years. As such, Christians have used these disciplines during this period of time. In our day, you often hear of folks giving up sweets or soda, and I myself, in the past, have given up coffee. Caffeinated beverages. Perhaps, though, there is something good, right, and salutary in focusing on these specific disciplines that are grounded in God's Word. Let's take a look at each one of them. First, Jesus speaks of giving to the poor. This first discipline is an interesting one because it reminds the Christian that his life is not lived for himself. Here, Jesus tackles one of our most common idols, our wallets. I'd like to be clear on this point, however. Jesus is not advocating a radical governmental redistribution of wealth. Jesus is here speaking to individual Christians and calling upon them to use what is theirs, what they have been given by God, to help their neighbors. In his hymn on the Ten Commandments, Luther says this of the seventh commandment: "You shall not steal or take away what others worked for night and day." So that's the first part of not stealing. But then he goes on: "But open wide a generous hand and help the poor in the land. Have mercy, Lord." And so we see that the seventh commandment is not just a prohibition against taking what belongs to your neighbor. In addition to that, God requires us to use the possessions that he has given to us to help those that he has placed around us. This discipline, giving to the needy, is a reminder that this life is more than just getting richer. God would have us use unrighteous wealth for righteous reasons, namely, to help the poor with the intention of opening the door for them to hear the gospel. Second, Jesus speaks of prayer. In fact, later on in this same chapter, Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer as the basis of all Christian prayer. With this discipline, our Lord points us to himself. After all, the Christian life that is lived in love toward the neighbor must be grounded in faith toward God. St. John the Apostle writes that we cannot love God if we hate our brother. We cannot love the God that we can't see if we can't love the brother that we can see. In urging us to pray, our Lord Jesus reminds us of the great gift that he has given to us by giving us his name. When God put his name upon us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the waters of holy baptism, he gave us the right to call him our Father. He wants you to come to him as a child comes to his father. The life of prayer, then, gives the Christian the opportunity to speak to our Heavenly Father. Jesus makes great promises regarding prayer. Just in the next chapter of Matthew, he says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened." In the Psalms, God himself declares, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." One of the great benefits of prayer is that the more we call upon God's name, the more we realize that everything that we have comes from his hand. Consider Luther's explanation to the petition, "Give us this day our daily bread." We say this in our catechism. "God gives daily bread to everyone without our prayer, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving." So we don't pray that prayer in order to let God know that we're hungry. The power of prayer is not found in that it manipulates God to do the things that we want him to do, but it opens the eyes of faith to how God is working in us to change our hearts to live by his grace and mercy alone. Finally, the last discipline Jesus speaks about in this section of the gospel is fasting. As I said before, this is more than just about refraining from food. Instead, the Christian may abstain from food for a period of time to remind the body that God is indeed the highest good, and he is the giver of everything that we need to support this body in life. Again, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. If we have food today, and I'm guessing you did, it is because God has given it to you. The food isn't a good in and of itself. That would make food into an idol. No, instead, Jesus here calls us to discipline our bodies, to recognize that food is a gift from our Father's hand. Now, in case you are curious, fasting in the days of the disciples and then later on into the early Middle Ages generally didn't mean just refraining from food whole hog for an entire day. Instead, it generally meant that you would fast just during the daylight hours, and then you would break that fast when evening came. Early Christians would often abstain this way, or they'd leave off a meal and maybe eat something smaller for lunch. It doesn't necessarily have to be not eating at all for a day, or whatever period of time it is. So the question then becomes, why? Why engage in these disciplines at all? Well, I think it's worth noting that Jesus says, when you give, when you pray, when you fast. While he does not command these things to be done, With these words, Jesus indicates that these are beneficial for the Christian and is expected that they will engage in these practices from time to time. But we also must exercise great caution when engaging in these disciplines, or any discipline. Jesus starts by saying, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. If you give, pray, and fast so that others see how pious and good that you are, then that's your reward. That's all you get. God isn't interested in that kind of self-righteousness." But there is a reward here that Jesus speaks of. The Father, he says, who sees in secret, will reward. Jesus doesn't give us an insight into what that reward might be, but we can be confident that everything from our Lord's hand is good. But there is a good practical benefit that we can name. When we give our money away, we are showing that that money is not our God. It has no claim on us. When we fast, we train our bodies to know that God is our life. By engaging in these disciplines, we are training for the day when these things might be taken away from us. So if someday the bottom falls out of the economy and we are left with nothing, or the enemies of the church rise up to persecute us and deprive us of the things of this life, it will be good if we have trained for it. The more you sweat in training, the less you will bleed in war. I'm guessing that not many of us would consider running a marathon tomorrow, except, well, maybe Lindsay. But with proper training and discipline, it's something that we could possibly do in the future. The same is true with suffering. If we discipline ourselves right now, when we have control of the clock, when the real thing happens, that suffering will be much more bearable. And so, people loved by God, that brings us to the last benefit of these disciplines. If you consider the life of Jesus, we see that he himself engaged in these things. We prayed in the litany about this. By his fasting, praying, and giving, our Lord brought salvation into the world. What a beautiful confession it is to the devil and our own sinful nature that we desire to live a life that is like the life of Jesus. Though we cannot add to the salvation that he has won for us, God can and will use these things to conform our life to the life of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.